The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Oh, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Friday edition of Fantasy Football Today. I'm very excited for today's show. I think we got a lot of really fun games to preview. I'm in a great mood. I am feeling good. I am looking good in my Derek Jeter shirt, the second best DJ in New York sports history. We'll talk about the best one in just a moment with Patriots Giants. What's going on, Dave and Jamie? How are we feeling this morning?
Can you stand up like an old man again and show us your shirt?
Yep. There it is. There's the interlocking NY. Very excited. Big sports weekend. Jamie and I are going to be on the air tomorrow night on CBS Sports Radio while the Yankees are playing the Astros and the Gators are playing LSU, and we're probably both going to be in a very, very bad mood for the entire show.
But pay attention, FCC. You might hear some curse words.
If the Yankees win, you feel like they're going to win the series?
Yes. Yes, I do think that if they win tomorrow. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. If Florida beats LSU, I think they're almost a lock for the football team, the playoffs.
Assuming they win out.
Because they're going to lose to Georgia, so it'll be one loss, but they'll have two wins against two top 10 teams.
That would be interesting. Auburn, LSU. All right, let's talk fantasy football here. I was trying to find MVP. I couldn't find them anywhere on YouTube, but you know who the MVP is of fantasy football, right?
Yeah, the Patriots defense.
The Patriots DSD. Although I was surprised to see that they do not have the biggest margin of fantasy points between number one and number two at a position. They have 4 point. It depends on scoring, obviously. But if you just go to like CBS Sports' fantasy stats page, number one is New England. They're 4.4 points per game better than the 49ers. Christian McCaffrey actually has a bigger gap between him and Dalvin Cook. But they had a huge game. What were your takeaways from yesterday's game? I actually wrote two scores in the notes. I knew this was going to be a slaughter, so I put a final score in before the game started. Patriots 30, Giants 13. And I wasn't that far off. 35-14, the final score. Dave, what were your takeaways from yesterday's game?
It was pretty. The game went pretty much as we expected it to. The Patriots dominated on both sides of the ball. The defense was outstanding. The Giants made a couple of fortuitous plays that helped them out. And that's really about it. I think people are going to get impatient with Josh Gordon now, because when he did play in the first half, he really wasn't that involved in the offense. He only had the one target. And then he got hurt in the second half, didn't play at all. And people are ready to cut him. They want to spike cut him. Just chop them off their roster right now, find somebody else to put on their bench at least to replace them. I still think that if I can find Josh Gordon on the waiver wire in my league, I'm going to stash him and see what happens. I don't know if I'm going to start him if I'm picking him up off the waiver wire, but I still see potential in him, assuming that he's healthy, assuming that the knee issue isn't something that's going to keep him sidelined for a long period of time.
Yeah, it's certainly frustrating. I can't imagine most 12 team leagues are larger or cutting him. It's probably 10 team leagues and smaller, just because you have.
Don't options. Be so sure, man. People are pissed.
But that would just be stupid. I mean, yeah, well. I think it's, you know, in a 10 team league, I can understand it. Uh-huh. You know, if you have, Terry McLaurin was available in a couple of 10 team leagues that I've seen. That's an easy thing that you can make a move on if you're so inclined. But look, this offense for New England doesn't look right. It just doesn't look like they're clicking on all cylinders. And you know, you hear Tom Brady saying it after the game, and you know, you can't watch the game and look and come away thinking this is the typical Patriots offense that we've seen time and time again. You know, so Gordon getting hurt, not a good thing. He hasn't exactly been playing great. Philip Dorsett not being there, not a good sign either. You know, he had certainly made some good moments and positive plays for this offense. The offensive line just does not look good right now, you know, and it's, we keep waiting for this Dante Scarnecchia magic to sort of kick in and click for them. And maybe it does by the end of the season. But right now, you know, Tom Brady looks, you know, whenever Brady looks uncomfortable in the pocket, Pete Prisco says it all the time. It's like he's seeing ghosts. You know, it's like he feels pressure around him that's not there.
Yep.
And I saw that last night tremendously. Like, you know, he gets just a little bit of pressure around him and all of a sudden, like, he's getting happy feet. You know, thankfully, he still got the two rushing touchdowns and gave you some good production. But it just does not look like the same Patriots offense right now.
I'm a little surprised at that take. You know, it doesn't look great. And they have faced pretty easy teams for the most part. I'm willing to mostly throw out the Buffalo game, although I was surprised at just how bad they were. But look,
but it's Brady, the last two games. They just haven't looked good.
Well, okay. I mean, that's fair. They haven't looked good in the first half. I think the wind, if you didn't watch the game last night, the wind was obviously having an effect. Brady's interception was weird. He missed Edelman so badly. He missed the throw up the sideline so badly. So the wind appeared to have an effect on Tom Brady. The conditions weren't great. But the bottom line is, I mean, he's got 21 or more fantasy points in 5 of 6 games. He's got 28 or more in 3 of 6.
That's where fantasy and reality don't mesh, because you're not counting on Tom Brady to rush for 2 touchdowns to be a good quarterback.
For 334 yards. I mean, he's still
completed 75% of his passes.
But it doesn't look the same way that you're used to seeing him perform. And so I'm thrilled that he got you the 20 plus fantasy points. And that's the saving grace, is that, you know, when you have good players or great players in his case, that you have expectations for them. My expectations for him were higher.
Well, so it sounds like you want to sell.
No, I don't think it's a sell situation, because, again, this, I think, is the floor. So I still think there's a ceiling that's not there yet. Plus, you know, there's still going to be a team that's going to be aggressive in making a move. So if they can steal an O.J. Howard from the Bucks, if they can steal A.J. Green from the Bengals, that would not shock me at all that they go out and spend some draft capital to go get one of those players.
Diggs.
Well, I just don't think the Vikings seem inclined to move.
If they pony up for him,
yeah, but
maybe they will.
And again, I think when Dorsett is back and if Gordon's right, and I still do have faith that, you know, Skarnecchia has turned offensive lines around before that haven't exactly looked good. So there's still, I think, a ceiling that Brady can get to. Plus, when they probably do play some tougher opponents, while it's not exactly a good thing, maybe the focus is different. Maybe the performance is different, just because he has to raise his game, and he typically does in those situations. So it's not a abandoned Tom Brady conversation. It's just more like you watch them, you just can't come away saying that they look like the same Patriots.
Right. He did look uncomfortable. He seemed out of sync early on. I think the offense really started to kick into a better gear toward the second half, maybe toward the fourth quarter more than anything else, but didn't look perfect in the game.
And it goes kind of speaks to, you know, the personnel continuing to change from Gronk's retirement to all the receivers they brought in, to Antonio Brown's situation, Dorsett being hurt, Gordon, you know, leaving the game. It's not all on Brady. I mean, by far it's not on Brady.
No,
you know, so I think there's a ceiling that he can still get to. But at the same time, you know, this is usually the point where they start to peak, and that's the hope that you're getting at this point forward, is that this is when the offense starts to click. You know, the defense has carried them. He said as much.
Well, we got to talk about the Patriots running backs. I don't think we really have to talk about the Giants other than to say Heath is going to look really good in the Gardner Minshew mustache.
No, don't say it. Don't say it. Right, so, Nothing is promised.
Let's just lay it out. It was PPR fantasy points, John Hilleman for Heath versus Jordan Howard for Dave. And Hilleman, he fumbled, so that he had 3 fantasy points in PPR, right? Or was it decimal scoring? So he had like 3.8, 3.5. So Dave's in good shape.
Oh, God, please let it come down to a decimal point.
Oh, no.
Please,
do you know how these bets go, Adam? We don't do them very often, but when we do, they always end up being very, very close, way closer than people think that they are.
Well, the Giants obviously were, you know, depleted. Didn't have much of a chance. I do wonder if you think it's worth holding on to Daniel Jones with Arizona, with Patrick Peterson. But Patrick Peterson's back. Arizona next week at home. And hopefully,
if he has all of his weapons,
that's the if, right? We don't know what Evan Engram's status is. When you're sprained MCL, I don't think.
But the fact that he practiced on
a limited
basis is.
Well, then he didn't practice. Like, he started to, and then he didn't.
I thought he practiced on limited.
No. He ended the week not practicing, and maybe that's just because they knew that they were going to shut him down for the short week. You got to wait and see. But yeah, they need him back. Sterling Shepard, we don't know when he's coming back because of the concussion. And Saquon, we think he's coming back, but that just might mean that they run a lot more.
So wrap it up by talking to me about Sony Michel, who had 22 carries for 86 yards. He had 28 rushing yards on the final drive. He now has 5 catches in his last 2 games, and they are making a concerted effort to get him the ball in the passing game. But Brandon Bolden got the goal line touchdown. Tom Brady had two quarterback sneaks with Michelle in the game on both of them. And then, you know, James White has had 11 to 13 fantasy points in PPR in every game. So I think we basically know what to expect, although he did have a touchdown overturn. But specifically Sony Michel, where are you on Michel right now? And then we will start talking about the rest of the games.
I think Sony Michel is still an okay number two fantasy running back. I think I know what's going on with the goal line work. Is that on the first drive of the game, he had a third and one, didn't convert it. They gave him a fourth and one, didn't convert that either. And that's always been a problem with Sony Michel. I talked about it during draft season. And it's one of the reasons why they got Damian Harris, was because Harris can convert those short yardage plays. And so I went and looked this season. He's actually 9 of 16 on downs, 3 yards and closer. It's pretty good average, I'd say. It's a little above 500. You'd like it to be a little higher, but for him, that's pretty good. He's 5 for 9 on 1 yard or closer. So again, it's not ideal. They'd probably like him. They'd love him to be 9 for 9, but I think the fact that he wasn't converting early in the game made them scared to use him at the goal line. That's why Bolden got, he didn't even get a carry down there. Bolden got the opportunities. Brady got the opportunities. As long as he keeps getting catches and 20 plus carries a game, you can use him as a number
two
running
back. But that's the concern, though, is that the last two games with the 5 catches is no Rex Burkhead. And so if Burkhead is playing, what does that do for Michelle's overall outlook? Because we know prior to Burkhead going down, it was, are they starting to make the switch to maybe using Rex Burkhead a little bit more? So I think that's a little bit of a concern for Michel, is, you know, what'll happen when they're fully healthy. Most likely Bolden goes back to being just a special teamer and Burkhead takes on those snaps. But as long as Rex Burkhead continues to be out, I think Michelle's fine. You know, you just have to keep an eye on that. I'd put him in the sell high category if you can trade him for something.
I was about to say, he's got the Jets, then the Browns and the Ravens. It's as tough as the schedule is going to be for the Patriots through the first half of the season.
The Ravens game will be tough if Brandon Williams is there.
Right. And the Jets could be tough if CJ Mosley's back.
Potentially.
And it's on the road.
Yeah,
Jets,
but they're going to
have a hard time.
Them. Well, then after the Ravens game, it's
I'm going to withhold judgment on that. I want to see the Jets on Sunday.
All right, after the Ravens games, it's a bye, and then it's at Philadelphia. And you're right, actually, Tom Brady doesn't have a great history at the Jets. That's coming up next week.
The schedule does get a lot harder after the bye.
Well, but
it's a reason to sell high on the Patriots DST if you can.
And you can. People are looking for him.
Now, I will say, their fantasy playoffs, you got to get there first, but week 14, Kansas City at home. Week 15, Cincinnati on the road. Week 16, your championship, Buffalo at home, but still weeks 14 to 15 could be huge. All right, guys.
Yeah, that home Dolphins game in week 17.
Oh,
it's a killer if you don't play into week 17.
Switch it with the Bills game. Put the Bills in week 17 and the Dolphins in 16. All right, call
Roger Goodell. See if he'll
do that. Yeah, big game for Julian Edelman. He's been awesome whenever Antonio Brown hasn't been there, save for that Bills game. Mailbag is Saturday. We're recording it today with Ben Gretsch, so make sure you tune into that. Got a lot of your questions at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Another way to get your questions read and answered is on Twitter. We're doing #AskFFT. Had a great time with it this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Just ask a question, #AskFFT. You can follow us on Twitter and see, you know, when we're kind of answering questions, but this allows us to easily identify questions for you. AskFFT, #AskFFT. And then if you want to win $1 million on CBSSports.com, you can play Parlay Pick'em. Download the CBS Sports app or go to CBSSports.com/parlay and submit your parlay card. And once you're done, you're immediately in contention for big-time cash prizes, including a chance at $1 million if you hit a perfect parlay. So there are other prizes as well. Download the CBS Sports app or go to CBSSports.com/parlay and take your shot at $1 million. 6 games to preview today. Real quick overview of them, guys. I just want you to tell me one player that you think is set up for a big game in these 6 contests. Hopefully we have one in each contest. And it could be obvious. That's fine. But tell me one player set up for a big game. Pittsburgh at the Chargers. This is the one AFC game we got today. Pittsburgh at the Chargers.
James Conner.
Austin Eckler.
Very nervous about James Conner. Why do you think he's set up for a big game?
Well, I mean, the run defense for the Chargers looked awful last week. And, you know, without Samuels there, I don't think they'll go all of a sudden give Benny Snell all of this work. It's just lean on their ground game, dump off passes to him in the passing game. So I think this could be his best game today.
Easy game plan for their third string quarterback, too. Lean on Connor.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't say I'm very nervous. I'm nervous that they won't have the ball much. More on that in a little bit. Carolina, Tampa Bay. Carolina, Tampa Bay. Who's set up for a big game?
McCaffrey, comma, Christian.
Well, sure. He's got the toughest matchup of anybody. He had a bad game against Tampa Bay, surprisingly.
That's true. Tampa Bay's been tough against the run. Guess what? You're going to start him anyway.
Okay, Greg Olson.
I'll go way less obvious. Godwin, comma, Chris.
Greg Olson set up for a big game? You think
yes.
it's going to happen?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Sure.
He's got a great matchup. Atlanta, Arizona.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
It's Kyler time, too, right?
Kyler's our start of the week, yeah.
Yeah, baby. All right, San Francisco and the Rams.
I think Robert Woods.
Oh, all right. I think I hope for selfish reasons, because I have like three leagues with Malcolm Brown. Could be good. It's a great run defense that they're facing, but we'll see. We'll talk about Brown and Edmonds in just a second. Detroit, Green Bay.
Kerryon Johnson.
That's a good one.
You hate going obvious. What about Stafford?
Yeah, Stafford's a good one. I think both Rodgers and Stafford have such a great history against each other
mm-hmm.
in terms of their fantasy points.
Big primetime game.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both top 12 guys.
Yeah, I think I was a touch surprised that you guys had Rodgers in your top 12 with Adams almost certainly out. But was it just like all the buys?
Part of that, you know, and just some, you know, like Wentz having a bad matchup.
Right.
I'd start Rodgers over him. Baker obviously stinks.
Sure. Okay. And then Philadelphia, Minnesota. Is there anyone that's set up for a big game?
Jordan Howard. Gonna get you five PPR points.
Yeah.
That's all he needs. I'll settle for four. Who's set up for a big game?
I think you're. Okay, like Cook,
I got
always have a big
game. Set up for a big game.
Yeah, go ahead.
Two guys, if you don't mind me taking two. Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah,
now, it's up to you whether or not you've got the confidence to go with Diggs, but I think Minnesota will find the ground game tough to use with Cook against this defense, and the secondary is so beat up that that they take chances with Thielen and Diggs downfield. Really what they're doing is taking chances with Cousins.
Well, I think, you know, we talked about this when the Bears played the Vikings a couple weeks ago. These teams that have great run defenses actually tend to see a lot of pass attempts. And the mm-hmm. Eagles see the fourth most pass attempts in football. And they've allowed 100 yards to a wide receiver in four of five games. Last week against the Jets was the only exception. So, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. So, I mean, that could be very relevant for your FanDuel team, right? And listen, if you want to join, right? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's in my FanDuel lineup.
Which one?
The one for FFT. Thielen.
No, with Thielen.
Oh,
or Diggs,
which player?
Like
Thielen.
Yeah.
The
one
for
FFT.
FFT league.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, I submitted my FanDuel lineup for our league, FanDuel.com/league/FFT. Please join. It's $5. That's it. FanDuel.com/league/FFT. But before you go to that URL, take out the word league and go to FanDuel.com/FFT, and you can get basically $5 free every week. You just make a $20 deposit, and you get $20 in site credit, $5 per week for 4 weeks, and you can use that to join our contest. There are more ways to win than ever. I love daily fantasy. I love DFS because, look, you don't have to worry about injuries and busts ending your season. You got a chance to win millions of dollars. You pick a new team every week. You could pick 50 new teams every week, whatever you want. You can play for a buck. You can play for a lot more. There's a contest out there for everybody. So sign up right now. Get $20 in total bonus. Just make your first deposit of $20 to get started, and you'll get an extra $5 in site credit every week for four weeks. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT. FanDuel.com/FFT or download the FanDuel app. So Todd Gurley and David Johnson miss practice. Both Malcolm Brown and Chase Edmonds are available in about 45% of leagues. So they're about 55% owned. Who do you like better, Malcolm Brown or Chase Edmonds? Brown against the Niners, Edmonds against the Falcons.
Edmonds.
Assuming both start, it's Edmonds.
And would you rank both, where would you rank both of them if they play? And we are previewing those two games today. But this is the big story right now, I think. The possibility to have a waiver wire starter. Where would you rank them?
Edmonds would be top 12, and Brown would be closer to 15.
I'll go a little lower than that and say Edmonds is top 15, and Brown would be top 20.
Okay, but big opportunities here. Devontae Adams, unlikely to play this week. Are you... avoiding MVS and Allison? They really disappointed last week, or more optimistic?
They're number three receivers.
Okay.
MVS more so than Allison.
Yeah.
Just because the big play upside that he has. I was just checking to see if Darius Slay practiced on Thursday. He did. It was on a limited basis, but he was limited the last time that they were practicing for a game and he didn't play. I think it would make the matchup better if he didn't play, although the Lions, their last game, their defense played well, kept Patrick Mahomes out of the end zone.
Yeah, but he still had 300 yards. So
still kept him out of the end zone. He didn't.
Oh, no, they played well. But, yeah. I mean, you know, you say quarterbacks were in that for game. 300, there's probably a good chance there's going to be touchdowns long.
Julio Jones limited in practice. We're ranking him. We expect him to play. Chris Carson limited with a shoulder injury. We expect Chris Carson, right?
Yes.
As of now.
And Alvin Kamara. Yes. Mason Rudolph has a chance to play. Right now we're thinking no, but he has a chance. Still in the concussion protocol. Washington could feature Adrian Peterson this week, according to reports at Miami. So interested in Peterson?
Yeah, he's a decent starter, you know. Probably more of a flex than a must-start guy, but, you know, certainly someone to consider.
Okay, certainly he'd be behind Edmonds and Brown if they got the chance.
Oh, for sure.
Would he be behind Daryl Henderson if Gurley were out?
No.
No.
No, Henderson is more of a dart throw at this point. Better in PPR than non-PPR.
Let's see. We got
Brandon. Although Will Brinson floated a theory to me yesterday, which I thought was interesting, that this is the Alvin Kamara, David Johnson situation when they were rookies.
Yeah, I had that thought too. I actually put in a bid for Henderson, but I don't know if I got him. I haven't checked yet in our podcast league. But right, like, just, you know, if big work comes available, those guys would get it basically. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, you know, Kamara was when they traded Peterson his rookie season, and then all of a sudden it was like, you know, he became a monster. And with David Johnson, it was sort of the same thing on a lesser scale, just because it took a while for the Cardinals to realize how good he is and he deserved more work. Sure. He didn't have the blow-up rookie season like Kamara did.
Okay, gotcha. Jamal Williams is going to play. Brandon Cook's expected to play. Cincinnati's not going to trade A.J. Green, according to the Bengals. Philip Dorsett could be back next week. Jalen Ramsey could play this week. If Ramsey plays, it doesn't really change much, right? Because you have Bridgewater around 20th right now, and we're still going to start Michael Thomas.
But, yeah, it would just be a downgrade to Thomas. I'd probably avoid him in daily.
Right. What else we got? Gardner Minshew has minor groin soreness. No big deal. Marquise Brown mispracticed. Do we think Marquise Brown is going to play against the Bengals?
This has kind of been the norm.
Right. He typically misses at least one day of practice each week. But he did have the ankle injury. Came back from it in their last game. Let's see if he gets in a limited practice on Friday. If he doesn't practice on Friday, I would expect him to be no better than a game time call.
Tampa Bay offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich said O.J. Howard's time is coming. What did that mean to you? He's like 73% owned right now, O.J. Howard.
They're trading him. Either that or he's going to play baseball.
Oh, he caught a pass. Yeah, he caught a ball at the Rays game. That was awesome. That was like half his production.
Barehanded. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And it was cool that they let Jameis hit the ball. The only time those two have connected.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, so you're not really.
I think it means if you have an open roster spot and you still have O.J. Howard, keep him.
Okay, fair enough. Or add him maybe. They have a bye after this week, right? Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Chris Herndon expected to miss the next two games. Hunter Henry was limited in practice. Do we think he plays?
No, but it would be awesome if he did.
TJ, he's on the way back.
Same question with T.J. Hockenson.
He sounds like he's going to go. I mean, the reports were yesterday full go in practice. So all he's got to do is get the clearance, and then he'll be out there.
Sammy Watkins, yes or no?
Not at this point.
No.
And Robert Kraft wants Rob Gronkowski to return. And watching him on Fox yesterday, like, Tony Gonzalez looks like he is ready, more ready to come back than Rob Gronkowski. Ron Gronkowski
looks so thin,
very thin.
Right?
Thin. Yep. Yeah. Well, not very thin, but compared to Gronk, you know. All right. We're just about ready to get into the games. Let's do some start, sit, or flex at best. Mike Evans against Carolina in London.
I'll say flex at best.
I currently have him as a number two receiver, and I'm not very comfortable with it. I agree. I think he's a flex at best. Tough track record against the Panthers, and Carolina is a good formula for kind of removing him away from Jameis Winston.
It's more of a 10-team conversation, because I doubt many people have the scenarios in 12-team leagues that you could mention. There are situations, obviously, but for the most part, he'll be started in 12-team league.
Would you start both Chargers running backs over Mike Evans?
Yeah.
In PPR, I would not start Gordon over him. In non-PPR, I would not start Eckler over him.
Gotcha. Okay. His PPR fantasy points in his last five meetings against the Panthers, 11, 17, 2, 8, 10, and only one game with more than 61 yards. All right. Start, sit, or flex at best. Brandon Cooks against San Francisco.
Start.
Did he clear the concussion protocol?
Assuming yes.
Yeah, you'll start him.
Okay. 70 or more yards in 8 of his last 10 regular season home games. Robert Woods was my next one. Start, sit, or flex the best.
He's still a start.
Start.
Okay, I pretty much covered everybody in this segment. Green Bay wide receivers or flexes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen.
Thielen's a start, Diggs is a flex.
Yep.
Any Eagle at Minnesota other than Zach Ertz, who I'm sure we're going to start. Not a bad matchup for him. Any other Eagle?
I think Alshon is closer to a sit than a flex.
Yeah, I'd sit him. I'd sit Wentz. I'd sit Howard.
Okay, that's all I got. Well, yeah. Those are the games we're previewing later in the show. Let's beat the waiver wire. You're looking for a quarterback for next week. Jimmy Garoppolo's at Washington. He's 83% owned, but I thought I'd put it in there. Gardner Minshew at Cincinnati. I don't know how much we like Andy Dalton against the Jaguars, but AJ Green's making some progress here. So, like, do you think Andy Dalton is just in general a guy to stash?
If you can, the hope would be is that no Ramsey, because if Ramsey's out and AJ Green's back, then Andy Dalton's a great start.
I guess I meant more from like a rest of season perspective.
Well, I mean, there was somebody that said a few weeks ago, Andy Dalton's going to win your fantasy league.
Yes,
so
I did. The premise of that was he was playing pretty well. Like I said yesterday on the show, his first three
his fantasy
weeks,
production is good.
His first 3 weeks he faced, I forget, Seattle, Buffalo, and
San Francisco.
Seattle, San Francisco, Buffalo.
He scored more fantasy points against those teams than any other quarterback that's faced them so far. So the last 2 weeks.
Without
AJ Green. It was because of John Ross. So my thought was he's got John Ross, who looks like a thing, and he's going to get AJ Green back, and he's got Tyler Boyd. Like, he's got the best weapons he's ever had. And I thought the schedule wasn't bad. So yeah, I did think that Andy Dalton was going to be kind of a league winner for people. I don't feel that way anymore because I don't know about AJ Green's health, and they don't have John Ross. So
no, but he can still be a streamer.
Yeah, right. He could be.
The Jaguar game is not exactly the Jaguars game is not ideal, but you know, again, there's circumstances that could happen. If there's no Jalen Ramsey and he does get AJ Green back, then I would say he is.
All right, running backs to stash. I got Ito Smith and Jamal Williams. We've been talking about them. They could get bigger roles, particularly Ito Smith.
Isn't it funny that there just hasn't been like this mad rush of injuries, thankfully, at that position? Like Wayne Gallman so far has been the best free agent add, and it was a one-week situation.
Well, Todd Gurley and David Johnson might not play this week.
Yeah, so that certainly would change things. But, I mean, just in terms of the first 5 weeks of the season, we haven't had
sure.
that,
Jamie,
oh, this guy's going to fill in for that guy.
What are you
well,
doing?
It's just facts.
He's just putting a kibosh out there. No
I
big
know,
deal.
Right? I mean, you know what Heath would say right now? We got two new ones from yesterday. He would say either, or that one is very breathy. But those were some good ones. Wide receivers, Dede Westbrook at Cincinnati. The Jets guys, I don't know, not next week against New England, but just in general. Cole Beasley against Miami. San Francisco guys at Washington. I'm kind of thinking more long-term here with the Jets and the Niners. But Dede at Cincinnati could be good. And Gerald Everett.
I mean, quarterbacks, what's Josh Allen's ownership at now? Because people probably dropped him.
I didn't think about him. I don't know. Yeah, he's
Miami at home, Philly at home. I'll get you Josh Allen's. But he's definitely going to be available.
That's a good one. Josh Allen against Miami, yeah. Green Bay against Oakland.
Well, it's only at 67.
Okay.
People are hanging on to Josh Allen? Wow.
Green Bay against
Third
Oakland. San Francisco's DST at Washington. That's the one. If they're available, get them. They're one of the best defenses
in
football so far.
I had one league where I had a roster spot to play with, and I figured, you know, let me just carry two DSTs and pick them up.
To be honest with you, I've actually used this segment. It's helped me with quarterbacks and DSTs. Not as much with running backs and receivers. That's harder. But quarterbacks and DSTs, they're the most
Absolutely.
Streamable. You know, take advantage of the guys that are available right now. So Minshew against the Bengals, 49ers against the Redskins, definitely two to target. All right, what do we got? I can't use the following teams. Giants, Bucks, Seahawks, Cardinals. That sucks. Atlanta, Houston. So...
Do it.
What do I have? I don't even know
Do
what's
it.
Available.
Do the tank bowl.
I'm honestly not ready for this segment. All right, you know what? Like,
I'll tell you what, if you do Miami and Washington.
No.
And all you gotta do is get five guys to be good.
Five guys? McLaurin.
Well, I mean,
if the
two quarterbacks.
And I'll tell you what, if you're bold enough to take that game, I say that we can reset all the teams you can.
No.
Yeah, come on. That's gutsy. No. He's going to put the bonanza on that game.
No, he doesn't get out of his self-imposed rule.
No, it's only for right now. Like, he can't use Washington and Miami next week.
No.
But then he also, whoever uses the week after that, he can't use for 3 weeks.
No.
I don't have good options here. Like, I really don't. The best I think I could do would be, like, San Francisco and the Rams, Baltimore, Cincinnati. A lot of these games are off the board. I could do Pittsburgh and the Chargers, but no, I could do Green Bay.
You could do Lions, Packers.
All right, here we go. Let's start it over. let's go with this week's bonanza. It should be Arizona, Atlanta, but that game's off the board. Let's go with San Francisco Rams. Yeah, dum dum da dum bum. Okay.
Which is the, assuming Todd Gurley's out, who's the best running back in this game?
Malcolm Brown.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It'd be interesting to see if people start it that way.
Yeah, I think this game's gonna be all right. I think
you're in trouble though with the 49ers side of things, because you don't have any guaranteed guys outside of really Kittle.
Yeah, he needs to be good. Garoppolo, I think, is gonna end up with 22-ish fantasy points. I'll put him in the top 10. And and then it comes down to the running backs. Coleman, come on, Coleman, come through for us. All right, let's talk a little bit about SeatGeek real quick. You know, ticketing websites, sometimes they make it so difficult for the customers, but not SeatGeek. They really care about the customers. Customer satisfaction is so high on SeatGeek. The reviews are amazing, and I could tell you personally, it really is the best app. We've been sponsored by SeatGeek for a few years now, and I just started using it when they started sponsoring us, and I haven't stopped. And I tell people about it off the air, and I tell people about it on the air. I recommend it to everybody. And all my friends now and my family members, they already have the SeatGeek app. I say, oh, you SeatGeek? Adam, shut up. I already have SeatGeek. So listen, you need to do it too. You can save $10 on your first purchase. Promo code is FFT for $10 off your first purchase on SeatGeek. They bring in millions of tickets from all over the place. So when you look at an event, you're not just getting it from one place. You're getting SeatGeek brings them in from other sources. So you're going to get great prices, and they're going to show you where the great values are. And every purchase is fully guaranteed. So again, download the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code FFT. Get $10 off your first purchase. That is promo code FFT for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Pittsburgh at the Chargers. Stat of the game. Chargers are third in the NFL in time of possession. Pittsburgh is 31st. And I think I mentioned this yesterday, but they have faced teams that rank. Mm-hmm. Steelers have faced 1, 2, 4, and 7 in time of possession so far. And they have been pretty bad in terms of total yardage in all four of those games. Now they're facing the team that's third in time of possession.
Do you have a breakdown of the Chargers' time of possession by game?
I was just thinking that because I'm wondering if it was completely inflated by the Dolphins game.
Right.
Because
I can't imagine that they had the ball very much last week.
Right. Baltimore and New England also played the Dolphins this year. And San Francisco played Cleveland.
But I think Pittsburgh,
there.
Legitimately, you look at them right now, if they have their third string quarterback going, they have one of the worst offenses in football, right?
In theory, yes. I mean, you know, it's a situation of, you know, the offensive line has not played well. And they're still, I like Deontay Johnson, but, you know, I think you're talking about him as not exactly the most ideal second receiver. You know, Vance McDonald has been in and out of the lineup because of the shoulder injury. So it's like a lack of weapons and a lack of, you know, strong quarterback play is going to lend itself to this team not playing at the level that anybody expected, but even, you know, from a respectable standpoint, given what the majority of the league is.
All right, so I think we'll start with the Steelers then. And as I look at the time of possession, yeah, I think it was mostly that Dolphins game, which is really crazy that one game would... 37 minutes, and last week against the Broncos. Yeah, no, it was the Dolphins game. So, you know what? Thank you for bringing that up. New stat of the game. Time of possession is deceiving. okay, let's talk about the Steelers, right? James Conner or Melvin Gordon. Who's the best running back in this game? That's a good place to start.
Eckler and PPR.
Conner and
Conner and everything else.
Eckler and PPR, Connor. You like Connor better than Gordon?
Yes.
Yep.
This is a guy who has not had more than 65 rushing yards in 10 straight games.
It's coming because he's going to get a lot of work. We know that Jalen Samuels isn't going to play. And like we talked about earlier, Benny Snell probably not going to get a ton of touches, might get, you know, 6 or 7. And the rest can go to Connor, and Connor can make plays in the passing game as well. So I think that he's got a good shot at getting good yardage and finding the end zone.
And you
I
think
mean, if you're
probably
the Steelers, you just have to say, like, let's ride James Connor as much as we can.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I think their offensive line is fine.
It's played better, but the beginning of the season was atrocious. They just did not play. Villanueva was not having a good start to the season, you know, so they're playing better, but it also goes hand in hand with the quarterback. You know, I mean, you change quarterbacks as much as they've had because of the injuries, and it's like, okay, where's the guy sliding to? Where's the, you know, protection going to go? You know, the calls are different, so it all sort of works hand in hand.
It's true.
It looks like a pretty good matchup. Chargers are allowing 4.9 yards per carry to running backs, and I think what gives me more faith, I'm sure you as well, in James Conner, is that he should be more involved in the passing game. Last week he didn't have a catch, but Samuels is out. So, I mean, you got to figure he's going to get some catches too, right?
Yes.
That'd be the hope.
Okay.
They get creative with the Wildcat, is it going to be him as the trigger guy?
I think the Wildcats.
I agree, totally. But if they, you know, figure we got to get Hodges off the field in any extent, you know, to do some weird things. And the one game that they won, it was because the Wildcat was working. Who knows?
Just thought. How do you feel about Juju?
I think he is a number two receiver that, similar to Mike Evans, that most likely you start by default.
Yeah.
Well, who do you like better, Evans or Juju?
I like Juju better.
I think I have Evans ranked higher, and I don't think I feel that way genuinely in my heart, Adam. I think Juju has the chance at a better game, particularly in PPR.
Would you start Stephon Diggs or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Smith-Schuster.
Okay. I mean, like, but what if Hodges is at quarterback? Like, that's...
I'm counting on Hodges at quarterback.
Yeah, and you still think he'll be all right? I know that Juju Smith-Schuster is not...
I thought he was okay coming in last week. I don't think they're going to ask him to make a bunch of, you know, 15-plus yard in the bucket throws down the sideline. I think that they can get guys open inside of 15 yards and have Hodges hit him there. I think he can do that.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to. And, you know, it's almost like they're going to go back to what they had with Mason Rudolph when Rudolph first came in. A lot of dinking, a lot of dunking, the occasional deep play. I think that's what you're going to see.
Yeah. Just a matter of how much they trust Hodges. You know, it could be a situation where we had Evan Washburn on the show with us, the NFL sideline reporter for CBS, and he spent some time with Pittsburgh in training camp. And, you know, he said the people that he spoke to there was that Hodges may have not a better arm than Rudolph, but may have the ability to go downfield a little bit more than Rudolph. And
I would hope
they
so.
Just didn't trust him. They just didn't trust him to the same level to manage the game as they did with Rudolph. So it could be a situation where he's a little bit more of a wild card, and that could help. You know, the one concern with Juju is, you know, will Casey Hayward travel with him? And so if that's the case, then it can be a little bit of a tougher matchup.
Okay.
That's worth looking into, to seeing if Hayward will go into the slot. It's also worth noting that Hodges ran a little bit at Samford. I'm looking at his college numbers right now.
He ran last week a little bit too.
Yeah, yeah. He will take off and run. He had 17 touchdowns in 45 games on the ground.
There's going to be some interesting DFS quarterback plays this week, from Hodges to Keenum to Rosen, you know, guys that you would never expect, that if they give you just respectable numbers and you have a great team around them, you're going to have a lot of chances to win in whatever tournaments you play in. But, you know, Hodges is going to make some plays here. I don't think this Chargers defense, you know, without Ingram, and we'll find out, is Perryman playing? I haven't seen anything in terms of his health, but he limped off the field last week, and we know he's been sort of banged up all season long.
I think he's playing. You know, I looked for an update today on Denzel Perryman, but he just hasn't had that much of an impact.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the guys that, you know, no Derwin James, you know, so the Chargers is so beat up that this is a chance for, I think, the Steelers offense, surprisingly, to potentially get right.
Perriman's playing. He had full practice both days this week.
So Vance McDonald, Heath has Vance McDonald 18th, and you guys have him 10th, and Heath would be like, oh, I muted it. Sorry. I muted the Heath side. But he would have been like, yeah, so you still have, you have McDonald 10th.
Yeah, hopefully he catches 4 passes and one of them is a touchdown.
I like McDonald, but my projections have him 0.4 points behind the next guy.
Nice. Okay. Phillip Rivers, we talked about him yesterday. Jamie's got him 14th, Dave 18th, and Heath 12th. So he's not a great start, Phillip Rivers. His offensive line's beat up. Pittsburgh.
That's a huge problem. It's a huge problem all the way around for the Chargers. It's going to hurt them when they try and run the ball. And I think the Steelers defense has played a lot better since they got Minkah Fitzpatrick. It's what I thought would happen, and it has happened. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way for Phillip Rivers to really make plays is going to be to lean on Austin Ekeler like he did last week. I could see Ekeler having another 10 catches.
I think both back. I mean, like, you know, Gordon had four catches.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, the Steelers have been kind of up and down against the run. They're currently allowing just 3.95 yards per carry to running back. So last week, Gordon had 12 carries. Ekeler had three. Gordon actually had four catches. They only went for 7 yards. And Ekeler had 15. And when I look at Melvin Gordon's numbers, 12 for 31 and 4 for 7, like, did Todd Gurley play against Denver? But hopefully he's better, shook off some rust here. So you said you guys like Connor better than Gordon and Ekeler, right? But Ekeler in PPR?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. We'll compare these guys to some others. How about Adam Thielen or Melvin Gordon?
Thielen in PPR for sure. And I think I'll take Thielen in non-PPR as well.
The thing about Thielen in PPR is that, like, Thielen doesn't really catch that many passes, and Gordon did have four catches last week, you know?
But it's also the matchup and, you know, hoping that the game that we saw last week, you know, where they clicked a little bit in terms of Cousins and Thielen carries over to
right. They were close 2 weeks ago. They clicked last week. They're going to need to click this week.
How about Juju versus the Chargers running backs?
I'll take the Chargers running back.
I will too.
Do we like or love Keenan Allen this week?
Love.
It's love by default. Like, he's still a top 12 receiver, but I don't think he's a top five guy, and I don't think he's a good daily play. You're not going to put him in your captain spot. You shouldn't even have him in your showdown lineup.
I think the thing about him is that you're going to get Rivers going back to being Rivers again. Last week was so weird that he typically does not shy away from challenging matchups, and he went away from Chris Harris and that secondary.
Did he have time?
But Keenan Allen doesn't run those type of routes that you have to worry about timing. You know, he's all over the field, you know, so typically they don't necessarily worry about that. It was a very anti-Rivers to Keenan Allen game. Like, he's not the type of quarterback that shies away from challenging corners.
It's been a couple of weeks for Keenan, right?
Yeah. He's had two bad games in a row. All right, moving on to Mike Williams. 82% owned, starter sit Mike Williams.
He's had four bad games in a row.
Sit.
Well, he had 74 yards. He had 6 for 74 last week, but I think we need to see more.
All right.
I made this comment yesterday on the video show that we were hopeful that Williams would get more catches and more yards to sort of support the touchdowns. And he hasn't scored yet this season, but he's coming off a game where he's got a career high in targets and catches. Right. You know, so it's like, and we're downgrading him.
Yeah, he's only had two games with double digit PPR points.
Where are you going to rank Hunter Henry if he plays 55% owned?
Top 12.
Yeah, by default. Guarantee.
Would you rank him ahead of Vance McDonald?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Ahead of Delanie Walker. He'd be right behind the Disley, Mark Andrews, you know, cutoff of the 7-8 guy, depending on what format you're looking at.
Cool. All right. So our next game is Carolina at Tampa Bay. What we're going to do now is we're going to move over to our audio room from the video studio. All of you watching at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, you know what you'll see. You won't see our pretty faces anymore, but you will get the rest of the show. We'll be right back to get to the next five games. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603. For complete details. Going over to London for Carolina at Tampa Bay. The Bucs have allowed multiple wide receivers to score 8 or more fantasy points in non-PPR. That's a pretty good game. In the same game, 4 straight weeks, including Samuel and Moore when Cam Newton threw, I think, 53 passes back in week 2. This is the first rematch of the season, by the way. So are both Carolina wide receivers in play this week?
I like Moore better than Samuel. He's been more efficient over the last 3 weeks. And it's not necessarily a matchup type thing. I think it's more like Kyle Allen could be tired of missing on the deep throws with Samuel and will try to just lean more on the easier targets with DJ Moore.
Okay. And how would you compare them to Juju?
Moore over Juju.
I believe I have Moore over Juju, both ahead of Samuel.
Gotcha. Which quarterback do you like better in this game, Kyle Allen or Jameis Winston?
Jameis.
Kyle.
Yeah, I could see a case for both. Go ahead, make your case.
I think Jameis is going to give you a similar game to what you got last week, you know, where he sort of cobbles together around 20 to 22 fantasy points. So not a great start, but still I think volume will certainly be in his favor. I think, you know, we've seen some flaws in this Carolina defense because of the injuries the last couple of games. So I like the setup for Jameis a little bit better. I'm just concerned about Kyle Allen and what the game plan will be. Will they allow him to actually throw the ball and be not as conservative as we've seen since the Arizona game?
That's going to totally come down to game flow and just how often they need him to throw the football. You know how I feel about Andy Dalton, right? I've made that pretty clear this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'll start Dalton over both these guys easy.
Both of
because
them.
Because I think that they both have kind of low upside. Jameis's track record against Carolina isn't good. His offensive line is beat up bad. The whole right side of that line will have backups playing. And I think Carolina's defense is actually pretty good. I'm expecting Jameis to have a rough game. I think it'll be okay for Godwin. I don't think it'll be great for anybody else. I just, in my mind, I've got to start sinking Mike Evans even more.
And I think he's going to get there. This will be the chance for Jameis to get to, it's only happened once in his career, 4 times with at least 20 or more fantasy points. So I think he gets there.
Okay. Well, yeah, Jamie's got him 9th and Dave has him 19th. And of course, Heath is exactly in the middle at 14th on Jameis Winston. Carolina, look, we didn't think Minshew was going to do anything. He threw for 374 yards, the first quarterback to throw for more than 208 yards against the Panthers. They really have shown some vulnerabilities, though, against the run. With Kawan Short out, they've been pretty... I don't know about bad, but they haven't been good against the run 2 straight weeks. So if we look at the running backs in this game, we're obviously going to start McCaffrey. But what about Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber?
No.
I'd prefer not to. I don't feel really good about either of their chances to be reliable. They're bye week replacement running backs. I think that's about the nicest thing that I can say about them.
Okay. So obviously, if Edmonds or Brown... if Gurley and Johnson are out, you're going to start their replacements over Ronald Jones and Barber. What about Carlos Hyde or Ronald Jones?
I'll take Hyde.
Oh, yeah. Hyde.
Okay.
I think the Texans are going to try and get him. I think they're going to try and get their run game going. I don't know if it's going to be all Hyde and no Duke, but I think Hyde's got it. I think he's got just as good of a chance to score as those guys do.
How about Ronald Jones or Mike Evans?
Evans.
I'll go Evans.
Okay, Evans or DJ Moore? I'm sorry, Evans or Curtis Samuel?
Evans.
I'll take, I think I'll take Evans.
Okay,
I'm reevaluating it on the fly.
Well, now I'll ask DJ Moore or Mike Evans.
Moore.
Okay. Godwin, McCaffrey, or must starts. Greg Olson and OJ Howard. Start Olson, sit Howard?
That'll work.
Yep.
Okay. Is that it for this game? I think it is, right? We're good.
I mean, you could make a case for the Panthers defense.
Yeah. Okay. Olsen facing the team that gives up the second most fantasy points to tight ends. That's why we're hopeful, and he had a huge game against them last time. Atlanta is at Arizona. We'll talk about that game after I tell you about Lightstream, because most people carry a balance on their credit cards. Lightstream's going to help because the APR on those balances, it could be over 20% on average. Go to lightstream.com/FFT, LightStream.com/FFT. Now you can take control of your bills with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get peace of mind knowing that you're saving money with an interest rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. So Lightstream believes that you deserve a fair, fast, and easy way to pay off your credit card balances. It can be really tough if you've got credit card debt. Get a fixed rate loan. From $5,000 to $100,000, you're going to pay far less in interest and nothing in fees. It's never been easier to apply online. You can even do it from your phone, and you can get the money in your account as soon as the same day you apply. You know, LightStream cares. You deserve a lender that cares. They have a track record of customer service that you can trust, and their credit card consolidation loan can help you pay off your credit cards, save money, and achieve your financial goals. So in addition to their great rate, you can get a special interest rate discount when you apply now at lightstream.com/FFT, LightStream.com/FFT. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/FFT for more information. Excited for some points in this game. Matt Ryan and Kyler Murray are both going to be awesome, right?
Yes, they should be.
Okay, Kyler, who would you start him over?
I would start him over Tom Brady.
I would start him over the quarterbacks in the Packers and Lions game, the quarterbacks in the 49ers-Rams game.
I would start him over Russell Wentz.
I'm going to start Russ over Kyler Murray. The one I'm actually debating is Kyler Murray versus Dak.
Oh, Murray's the top four quarterback for me this week.
I think that's very aggressive.
And Ryan is number five.
It makes sense. I mean, he's running more. He was QB7 last week with 25 fantasy points and 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. And
well, he would have to throw in a touchdown then.
What's that?
He didn't throw one last week.
And he still was QB7.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's had three straight games with at least six fantasy points with just his rushing totals.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. In their last three games, Atlanta has allowed passer ratings of 118.1 or better to Jacoby Brissett, Marcus Mariota, and Deshaun Watson. So it's set
what
up beautifully.
What they've really done is not covered receivers.
Yes, they've done great at that.
That's really the problem. And so,
well, you know what, Dave? The receivers are the tricky part. I'm sorry to interrupt, but let's get into that. Because all of the receivers in this game, except for Julio, are, you know, going to be kind of head scratchers for fantasy owners. What do you think?
Right, but they're all going to carry plenty of upside.
But are they really heads? I mean, Fitzgerald's a must-start guy.
Well, Fitzgerald's had three bad games in a row. I think he scored in one of them.
Yes, and now he's playing this defense, so he's a must-start guy.
But he doesn't have the breakaway speed. He's going to need volume. I agree. I think he's a good number two receiver.
Sportsline has Fitzgerald as their third-ranked receiver this week.
Okay. He wasn't good last week against Cincinnati. So, it's just...
Right. Right.
Is Christian Kirk going to play?
Just keep in mind, this is the same defense that gave up three combined touchdowns to Corey Davis and A.J. Brown.
I know.
Right.
I know. Well,
right, but at least those guys have some speed to them. I'm not going to sit here and say that Larry Fitzgerald's going to have a bad game.
Two days in a row, you're knocking the Hall of Famer.
You know, what can I say?
yesterday on the show, Dave said, and I know the point he was making, but I made fun of him a little bit. He said... the key for Larry Fitzgerald could be if Damir Bird and Christian Kirk play.
It's true. I've been waiting to talk about them for the last 30 seconds, they're the key. Those are the key to Kyler Murray as well.
I said when Larry Fitzgerald goes in the Hall of Fame, he's going to remember week six of the 2019 season when Damir Bird and Christian Kirk played and made his career.
Well, he needs them to be good or what?
I think if they're on the field, it makes it harder for the Falcons to key in on him.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They're going to have to play a different type of defense. It's a lot different when it's Trent Sherfield and Keyshawn Johnson.
So rank the wide receivers in this game.
Julio.
Mm-hmm.
Larry. Ridley.
No, everybody first name basis.
Calvin.
Okay.
And then if Christian plays, Christian would be next. If Damir plays, Muhammad. Muhammad would be up there. Especially in PPR. Muhammad might go ahead of Christian, and Damir would bring up the rear.
That kind of rhymed. All right, so again, that was Julio, Fitzgerald, Ridley, Sanu, Kirk, Bird. I guess Keyshawn Johnson is a sleeper if Kirk and Bird don't play, but he had 10 targets against Denver, and he had 46 yards. He had 7 targets against the Bengals, and he had 22 yards. But he's only 4% owned. You know what we're talking about here, deep leagues. How much faith do you have in Calvin Ridley this week?
It's another favorable layout for him.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same layout every week. We're going to say the same thing. The Falcons can't run the football. They're going to have to throw. Matt Ryan knows that Julio is going to see coverage tilted his way, so Ridley should have opportunities to make some plays. His touchdown last week was actually a pretty heady play.
It looked like the play broke down. Ryan rolled out of the pocket. Ridley was smart enough to run toward the end zone. The cornerback on him didn't realize it, so he was wide open, and Ryan hit him for the touchdown.
Austin Hooper's in my FanDuel lineup. He's top three in non-PPR. He's top four in PPR. He's got the best matchup there can be. I mean, I hate to say this, but it's unlikely that Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley, and Austin Hooper are all good. Somebody's probably going to disappoint you. It's going to be the case every week, but this week you're starting them. Arizona, they can't cover anyone. That's pretty obvious. Maybe that'll change next week when Peterson's back, but so be it. Now, the running backs in this game, I don't think we can quite start Ito Smith yet, but stash him. And whoever's right. starting for the Cardinals is going to be a must-start guy. What about Devontae Freeman?
It's kind of the same thing every week. You know, he's a number two running back.
He's getting it done catching the ball. He's getting it done catching the football, which is good on Dirk Koetter and the Falcons for using him that way because they know he can't run very well between the tackles.
Devontae Freeman.
Or win the edge. He's slow to the edge.
Devontae Freeman or Larry Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald.
I'll take my chances with Larry.
Figured that much. Devontae Freeman or Calvin Ridley?
Freeman.
I will take Freeman.
San Fran at the Rams. Stat of the game. No running back has scored a touchdown against the Rams this season. Oh, no, against the Niners. Pardon me. No running back has scored a touchdown against the Niners. Will that streak end this week?
Yes.
I'm not so sure it will.
By the way, Golden Tate was the first player to catch a touchdown against the Patriots, so that streak ended. Jimmy Garoppolo, you guys have outside the top 12, but inside the top 17, so we'll call him an okay streamer. It's interesting, guys. The Rams have allowed four touchdown passes and 37 fantasy points to two straight quarterbacks, Winston and Wilson. And I guess the question is, like, which Rams defense is going to show up? The one that was so good for 10 straight games or the one that's been so bad two straight games?
I think it could hinge on Aqib Talib's health. If he ends up not playing, that would obviously help Jimmy Garoppolo. And then another factor that I think might end up helping Garoppolo in terms of volume is the fact that his offensive line is so beat up. Kyle Shanahan's clever. I don't think he's going to try and run the ball 35 times unless it works out for him. But at least early on, I think he's going to try and get the passing game going. A lot of quick throws, both to the running backs and to his group of after catch receivers that he has.
The one thing
I could see
like
volume the, going for Garoppolo.
The thing that is sort of negated for the 49ers a little bit is while their tackles are out, the edge rushers for the Rams is their weakness because, you know, Dante Fowler is okay. But
oh yeah, no Matthews for the Rams.
The edge rushers are just not the key to this defense. And so if they're going to try and, you know, sort of compensate for the tackles not being there, it's maybe, you know, try and run up the gut, which is, you know, you got to just move Aaron Donald out of the way, which is easier said than done. But that's really the key to that run defense. And so they're not the biggest group on that side of the ball. The problem is, though, without Juszczyk in there, is are they going to have the same success with the zone blocking and you know, following the fullback? So it's a really interesting game from the line standpoint. You know, is the 49ers line going to hold up? Is the Rams line going to be able to, you know, get not only pressure on Garoppolo, but also stop the run?
What the heck am I doing with Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida?
I think they're okay starts if you're thin at running back. I like Coleman better because he works more in the red zone and at the goal line.
Yeah, agreed. I think the one's going to disappoint you, and it's not going to be what we saw last week, and it's not going to be the same success that they've had because I do think the loss of Juszczyk and the tackles is going to come into play here. So it's just a matter of which one has the chance to find the end zone. I'm with Dave. I would lean toward Coleman. The one thing is Breida going to continue to be the one working on passing downs? Because that would sort of hurt both of them if they don't score.
It was actually Mostert working on passing downs last week. He had 15 third down snaps. I think the other guys combined for like two. And I don't know if Tevin had any. But again, if Kyle Shanahan is smart, he's going to use these guys in the passing game. He's going to avoid the offensive line. He's going to avoid Aaron Donald. And he's going to attack the edges and throw to them. They can all catch. I wouldn't be surprised if every single 49ers running back that's active has at least three receptions.
I have two leagues in which I have both Ronald Jones and Tevin Coleman, and it's actually a tough call for me because I think Jones has a better match. I think it's similar. Who would you guys go with? I think you're going to say Coleman. Right?
I'd go with Coleman.
Yeah. I hate the Juszczyk injury, but I'm probably leaning Coleman.
Coleman or Ronald Jones?
Oh, Coleman.
Yeah, that's the way I'm leaning as well. If you were going to take a gamble on a San Francisco wide receiver, who would it be?
Hold on, let me get my blindfold and then some darts. Okay. That was the sound of a dart throwing.
Nice. Not bad.
Deebo Samuel.
Okay.
I'll take Goodwin still.
The Rams did not allow
a
touchdown.
It's funny that neither of us are taking Pettis, though.
I won't either. The Rams did not allow a touchdown to a wide receiver in any of their first three games, but in their last two games, three touchdowns to Tampa Bay wide receivers, three touchdowns to Seattle wide receivers. Start George Kittle. Start or sit Jared Goff?
I'm okay starting him.
Yeah, low end starter. It certainly helps if Cooks is back.
And then Gurley and Malcolm. I mean, are you going to basically rank Malcolm Brown similarly to Todd Gurley?
Not rank him where?
Like the same as Gurley?
No.
I think I mean, Gurley's been so bad, like running the ball, that I'm just.
Brown's actually looked a little better.
Yeah, very limited. Malcolm Brown only has 19 catches in 45 games. You do have to factor that in. Then maybe Daryl Henderson gets the catches if Gurley's out.
But I don't know how much they trust Henderson.
Yeah. No, we don't know. The Niners allow the fewest fantasy points to running backs, 3.8 yards per carry to running backs. Nick Chubb could have had a good game. He averaged 5.4 yards per carry. Ronald Jones, 5.8 yards per carry. They're not impenetrable, but this is their strength. And then the Rams wide receivers, Cooper Kupp is just on a heater. Four straight games with 100 yards. Nine or more targets in every game. Who do you like better, though, Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods?
I don't have Cooks ranked right now because of the concussion. I would probably lean on Cooks.
I go Cooks in non-PPR, Woods in PPR.
Oh, Gerald Everett. He's top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But he's about 7 or 8. Downgrade of Cooks plays. I'm still
going to have him top 10.
Depends. Close to it.
He's playing too much. He's getting too many targets. He's a tight end.
That's
there just aren't a lot of
those
guys.
It's the targets are misleading.
Because the volume's been so up.
Yeah.
That's fine. Even if Goff is throwing it 40 times.
Sure.
I would imagine five or six targets for Gerald Everett.
No, but it's just, you know, the it's not like this is all of a sudden we're featuring Gerald Everett.
Gerald Everett had 90 yards before the Cooks injury. He had finished with 136 yards at Seattle. And Goff
his playing time had been up for a month.
Goff, his arm is going to fall off. He's been throwing the ball so much, but we like that for the receivers. All right, so...
They never lost three straight games in the McVay era.
Interesting. Everett or Jimmy Graham?
Graham.
Everett.
Oh. Jared Goff or Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford?
Goff.
Goff.
Does it matter if Cooks plays?
Yeah, at this point, I'm going to assume Cooks is playing. So right now, I have Rodgers ranked ahead of Goff as we're sitting here, but I'm going to switch that.
Okay, well, you want to guess which game is next?
Packers.
Yeah, Detroit at Green Bay, Monday night. Stat of the game, the Lions allow the fourth most fantasy points to running backs, but it's mostly because they've given up a lot of receiving yards to running backs. They're still okay on the ground. What do you think about Aaron Jones coming off a four-touchdown performance? Now Jamal Williams comes back. He got a lot of work in the passing game the last two games without Jamal Williams there. So, you know, is he a top 10 running back this week, Aaron Jones?
Yeah, I think you just got to go with the hope that Matt LaFleur saw Aaron Jones just dominate and carry their team without Davante Adams playing against a very good opponent on the road and say, this is my guy until further notice.
It doesn't mean that Jamal Williams won't see work, but he just won't see nearly as much.
So, Kerryon Johnson, he's behind Aaron Jones. Is he ahead of the Chargers guys?
Not Eckler and PPR, though.
So we like him. We like Kerryon this week.
Yeah, top 12 running back.
Cool. All right,
this is going to be an interesting game.
Will the
Packers, how they fixed their run defense last week, will that carry over?
Do you think Jamal Williams gets 10 touches? So if you're in bye week hell or something like that, maybe you take a flyer on him?
Yeah, I'd say 10 touches is about the ceiling.
I will take the under.
Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, what do you think?
I mean, Galladay's a must-start until proven otherwise, and Jones is a number three receiver.
Jones or Evans?
That works for me.
Do you hear me? Jones or Evans?
Evans.
I guess Evans.
I don't know if you were fixing your audio issues. Jameis Winston has given the now squeaky wheel treatment to Mike Evans.
Yeah, let's see. They really covered it well in Carolina.
For us to win, Mike Evans has to get the ball. So it could be a situation of
forcing him the ball. Targets,
yeah. Hey, Mike, go get the ball. Give it to me and get the hell off the field. Something like that. Like he's the ball boy.
I don't think it's going to be like that.
Ace or colon, Mike Evans, ball boy.
Yeah. TJ Hockenson, where would you rank him if he plays compared to Gerald Everett and Jimmy Graham?
He's behind those guys. He's a touchdown or bust fantasy tight end. You're hoping that he can come down in the end zone. I don't think he's going to get a lot of targets. Hockenson?
Yeah, is that what he said?
Yep.
Who's he asking?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Who's he asking about?
Hockenson.
TJ Hockenson.
Yes, yeah, so I asked you.
Yeah.
I can hear him say it because I can't hear the audio very well.
Hockenson.
Hockenson has got two good games and two crappy games.
So, team name Tuesday and Friday. Hockenson-a-loogie.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Break down Aaron Rodgers versus Matthew Stafford. I think they're ranked fairly similarly, right?
I like Stafford's pass catchers better. I think he'll eventually have to throw. They both have a great track record against each other. I think Stafford's track record is pretty damn good. He's had at least two touchdowns in 9 straight against Green Bay. He's had over 250 yards in 5 of his last 6 against Green Bay. And the Packers' pass defense has allowed 25 fantasy points to each of the last 2 quarterbacks that they faced. So I think the ceiling is higher for Stafford than it is for Rodgers.
I like Rodgers at home, though. I just feel like this is going to be one of those games where he puts on a show.
Mm-hmm. He has only put on a show once this year.
I know.
Like, they've only had 2 home games, right?
He's really buying into 3. Running the ball a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, if Devontae Adams were playing, it'd be great. That was the one time he put on a show, and Devontae Adams had like 170 yards or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. It's just a gut feeling. Now, if Marquez Valdes-Scantling is banged up, so take that into account. Obviously, if he doesn't have him, then it's hands off.
I sort of felt like Aaron Rodgers could have had a big game last week, but he just decided to hand the ball off to Aaron Jones. Like, he played really well.
Right. I think that's telling.
Sure. All right. So, he's 10th, 12th for Dave, 10th for Jamie. Stafford is right around the same range. Jamie's got Stafford 13th. Dave has him 11th. And Heath has these two back-to-back. They're all around. They're both around 10th to 12th, something like that. They're fine. And then Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, not in that order. They are number 3 guys. You could flex them. Jimmy Graham is in that Gerald Everett range. He's about 10th, 9th or 10th. He had 3 targets at Dallas, 3 catches for 41 yards, but he had 9 targets the game before. And the Packers DST is in play, 8th for Jamie, 14th for Dave, 13th for Heath. Last game is Philadelphia at Minnesota, and no running back has rushed for more than 44 yards against the Eagles. Is that streak coming to end?
Yes.
Okay.
44 yards? I think Dalvin Cook can get you more than that.
Can you imagine the pain if he didn't?
Well, hopefully he does a lot passing.
He had a bad game rushing the ball against the Bears, and he still ended up with a good fantasy game.
Yep. He's good.
He's awesome. And I'm not playing Cook or McCaffrey in DFS this week, so I just want to throw that out there.
You can't use McCaffrey on the main slate.
True.
And Cook, yeah, I mean, you can make the case for him still because
it's a bad
owned
week for running backs in DFS.
It's going to be a lot of Malcolm Brown and Chase Edmonds if that comes to it.
Yeah, it will.
Oh, for sure.
Yep.
So in
or
this
David
game,
plays. Right now he's one of the more popular plays.
We're trying to get away from basically all the Eagles except for Ertz, but Dave, do you really have Wentz 9th?
Yeah, I think it's too high.
I do too.
Because I'm really not into Alshon Jeffrey. I love Wentz as a quarterback, so I'm probably putting him there because I think that he can just make,
the Packers
some amazing throws and have a game like he did against the Packers. But I can't trust Alshon Jeffrey in my fantasy lineup unless I have to. There's no other wide receiver on the Eagles that I would trust. I can't say with confidence that Dallas Goedert is going to score again. And I can't say that Zach Ertz is going to have 3 touchdowns. So I have Ertz irrationally high, and that's probably going to change.
Wentz or Ertz? Ertz irrationally high. Did you mean Wentz?
I have Wentz irrationally high.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I said Ertz.
If you think that Carson Wentz is back to being his MVP-ish form in 2017, he had 6 matchups against teams that were among the 10 best against quarterbacks, and he averaged 26 points per game. He was sort of matchup-proof that season. But Minnesota has just such a track record of guys going into their building. Going into this year, 2 quarterbacks in the last 17 scored 20 or more fantasy points at Minnesota. Just that included the odds are against
Wentz.
Yeah. All right. Moving on then. Cousins. Any interest in him against an Eagles pass defense that's not nearly as good as their run defense?
This is typically a spot where he wilts, though.
Yep. It's a good team that he's playing. Yeah. You might try him if you like to set a lot of DFS tournament lineups. Like if you want to do the big contest on FanDuel and you want to set a bunch of lineups, you could sprinkle him in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. And Thielen and Diggs, we mentioned them. Thielen's a start. Diggs is a flex. Philadelphia allows the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers, and at least one receiver has had 100 yards in 4 of 5 games they've played. I just wanted to say this about Thielen. He has had 5 to 8 targets in 4 of 5 games, and he's averaging 62 yards per game on 6 targets per game. It's just like, and last year he had less than 8 targets in 6 games and he averaged 55 yards per game. He just doesn't get enough targets, you know? I don't know.
It's just capping the ceiling for both those guys. That's right. The problem. And you know, what we've seen is that they also, you know, spreading the ball around to just so many different guys. Now, last week was a little bit more consolidated, but, you know, that's the hope is that, you know, just like if I'm Kirk Cousins and Stefanski and Kubiak and all the coaches there, I would just say, if we're throwing the ball 25 times, because I think that's probably about what the average is for them.
It's going to be more than that.
It might not be.
Based on the Eagles,
you say it's going to be.
Yeah, this week. Yeah.
Okay, so let's say it's 27. You know, I would say the cap is 30, just given what we've seen from them.
I don't think so, because they threw 36 times against the Bears.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's over 30.
But that, okay, so... What I would say is I'm circling 8 and 8 on Thielen and Diggs, and that's the minimum.
Targets?
And then I'll get Dalvin.
Ooh, I'd want to start Diggs if that was
his 5 or 6. But that's just not the case. That's not what they're doing. Like I, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm getting 8 throws to Diggs, and I'm getting 8 throws to Thielen, and I'll figure out the rest.
Okay. Yeah, and Thielen had 8 targets last week.
I got to go, though.
130 targets, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. We got to go. Jamie's out. Dave's out. I'm out. We'll talk to you on the Mailbag Show and Sunday night. Dave,
Adam, if you want to keep going, I'm here.
Nah, we're good, man. That's our last game. I will just say that Minnesota's DST is top 10, and Philadelphia's is top 13. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.